Support for coverage of the Utah Legislature comes from the USU Charter Credit Union, with 5 drive-up locations from Smithfield to Brigham City for members to save time and hassle, banking to go. Information is at usucu.org.
It's the last day of Utah legislative session, and it's been busy. We have full legislative coverage.
Today is Thursday, March 8th, and it's All Things Considered. I'm Kirsten Swanson.
And I'm Mackenzie Hamilton. This is your 5:30 Utah News.
We begin today's extended newscast with a Northern Utah fire crew responded to a fire yesterday at a grain mill in Idaho. The Franklin County Grain Growers Mill caught fire at around 3:45 p.m. Wednesday and was almost completely destroyed. Firefighters from Logan and Franklin County remained on the scene last night and have now completely extinguished the flames. After the fire broke out, business and homes near the mill were evacuated as officials were fearful of a grain dust explosion, but Robert Merrill, assistant editor of the Preston Citizen, reports no one was harmed.
There wasn't any injuries. Estimated damage between $4 and $5 million, according to the fire chief. The owners are meeting with the insurance adjusters today and tomorrow to determine exactly what course of action they're going to take.
Franklin Fire Department officials say the cause of the fire is unknown.
And in other fire-related news, UPR's Jennifer Pemberton reports on a court proceeding about a blaze church.
One of two teens accused of burglarizing and then setting fire to an LDS church in Santa Quinn is being ordered to at least 90 days in a juvenile work camp. The sentence comes after the 16-year-old boy pleaded guilty to felony arson and felony burglary late last week. Authorities say the teens broke into a 1940s-era church building in December. They ate some food left out for an upcoming bake sale, then lit some paper on fire. The blaze caused an estimated $2 million in damages. For Utah Public Radio News, this is Jennifer Pemberton.
Home sales in Utah were the highest they've been since 2007, according to a report issued by the Utah Association of Realtors. UPR correspondent Chris Holmes reports that the news is especially welcome in southern Utah.
Washington County was one of the fastest-growing counties in the nation before the housing bubble burst in 2007. The area has continued to struggle as foreclosures, short sales, and historically low housing prices have dominated the market. The Utah Realtors report indicates that Utah home sales are clearly on the uptick. Uinta County leads the way up 33%, Wasatch is up 21%, and hard-hit Washington County is up nearly 12%. Association President Lori Chapman surmised higher sales are because of increased home buyer confidence, affordable home prices, stronger employment, and record low interest rates. For UPR News, I'm Chris Holmes reporting from Southern Utah.
The family of a 15-year-old Taviona girl who died when their Ford Excursion crashed into a 20-foot deep sinkhole is suing the Utah Department of Transportation. Shalane Smith Needham reports.
The parents of Justine Barnick say road crews failed to warn motorists of the hazard last July on State Route 35 near Tabiona. UDOT has said it drained creek water that pooled along the highway, but another storm washed the road away. The father survived, but his daughter died when the vehicle slammed into the pit. Michael Barnick and his wife, Linda, filed the $1 million wrongful death lawsuit on Tuesday in Salt Lake City's 3rd District Court. The road collapsed after 11 p.m. on July 13, 2011, cutting a hole 30 feet wide. For Utah Public Radio News, this is Shalane Smith Needham.
A $6 million pilot program for treating young children with autism is extremely close to passing out of the legislature. Just minutes ago, the Utah Senate took an initial vote to approve the bill, which would treat certain children of state employees who are between 2 and 6 years old. Republican Senator Daniel Thatcher voted no, calling the proposal cruel for parents of children with autism who will not receive treatment.
I could support putting greater assistance into public education. We are already constitutionally obligated to take care of those kids, but I cannot, with a clear conscience, stand here and add another program that we cannot pay for and hold out false hope to those parents.
The bill will face one more vote in the Senate during the final hours of the session tonight and another vote in the House to concur with changes made by the Senate.
And as we've mentioned earlier, today is the last day of the legislative session here in Utah, and a bill that makes small changes to the Utah's Government Records Access and Management Act unanimously passed out of the House of Representatives today. Senator Kurt Bramble, chief sponsor of Senate Bill 177, has said the bill makes private any materials that don't directly relate to an elected official's capacity as a government official or the people's business. The bill also develops an online training course for all records officials, which must be completed annually. It also creates a Government Records Ombudsman in the State Division of Archives and Records Service to help mediate record disputes. The bill passed the House by a vote of 69-0 and will be sent to Governor Gary Herbert for his signature. Last year, Utah lawmakers passed a controversial overhaul of Utah's grammar law in the final days of the legislative session, but later repealed it after public backlash.
It looks as though many Utah high school students won't be able to get college credit through concurrent enrollment courses for free in the near future. As KCPW's Jeff Robinson reports, a bill that allows Utah colleges and universities to charge them for the privilege is close to becoming law.
Any costs for concurrent enrollment will have some negative effect on some students' ability to take such classes.
On the House floor, Democratic Representative Christine Watkins of Price read comments she heard from school superintendents about Senate Bill 284.
This may at least delay college and career readiness, if not halt it entirely, in some areas of the state for some students.
SB 284 allows Utah students who take a concurrent enrollment course to be charged up to $30 per credit hour, or $10 if it's taught in the high school by a public school teacher. For students from low-income families who are on free or reduced-price lunch, only a $5 charge would be allowed. But that's not enough to satisfy the concern of Granite School District, which, as spokesman Ben Horsley points out, has many students who are economically disadvantaged.
While some may consider that an insignificant fee, it is significant to the parents that would have to pay that fee.
He also notes that concurrent enrollment courses are provided by Granite School District teachers using Granite School District facilities.
We're still trying to find out why this is overly burdensome to universities to simply place a credit on a student's transcript.
Still, the bill did receive support from lawmakers who argued they share the same concern about low-income students' access to higher education. Republican Representative Francis Gibson said as of Wednesday he opposed the bill, but it's come a long way since then.
$5 per credit hour? That is unbelievable. We're going from free to $5 per credit hour, a very small increase.
The legislation cleared the House on a 52-21 vote. Whether it will be signed into law by Governor Gary Herbert remains in question, however. His Education Excellence Commission testified against the legislation earlier in the session, arguing it would hamper the state's effort to get two-thirds of Utah adults to have a college degree or certificate by 2020. From KCBW News in Salt Lake City, I'm Jeff Robinson for Utah Public Radio.
With the signature of Governor Gary Herbert, smoking of hookahs and e-cigarettes will be banned in public under the state's Indoor Clean Air Act. The Senate gave final approval to House Bill 245 today, but businesses whose sales of hookah and e-cigarettes represented at least 10% of gross sales will be exempt from the law for the next 5 years. The Senate passed the bill with a 24-3 vote. Should the governor sign the bill, the law will go into effect on July 1st.
Currently, when a student leaves a public school to attend a class at an applied technology center, the school loses some funding for that student. House Bill 258 would reinstate full funding to public schools for each student.
The bill, sponsored by Craig Powell of Heber City, has the support of educators who complain that Utah's already underfunded schools need every penny they can get for every student for which they are accountable. Jim Johnson is superintendent of Iron County School District.
Right now, if legislation and rule and statute stays as is, we will not be receiving funding for sending students to the Southwest ATC, which would be a significant thing for us.
The Utah Taxpayer Association, on the other hand, opposes the bill on the grounds that it constitutes what they call the double funding of students. Chris Holmes, UPR News, Cedar City.
And as always, we end our program with the weather from the Utah Climate Center. Meteorologist John Meyer is here. Could you tell us what the forecast looks like for the next couple of days?
We've got an absolutely gorgeous few days coming ahead of us as spring begins to pop its head into our view. Clear skies and sunny weather will be the feature until the end of the weekend, so get out there and enjoy the weather.
Hey, well, thank you so much. And join us tomorrow for Access Utah, where we'll be looking into the legislative session and just recapping that. That's with Tom Williams tomorrow morning. And this has been the 5:30 Utah News. I'm Mackenzie Hamilton.